fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're recapping Sunday's action.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Heath, and Chris.
Recapping Fantasy Week 4. We still have Monday Night Football to play, but plenty of action on Sunday. Adam, Heath, and Chris. Yo, good morning, guys. Happy Monday. Happy October. How was Week 4 for you?
What a day for Julio Jones, but he's still no Odell Beckham.
Yeah, what was that you're whistling over there?
I think Chris may be doing like a...
yeah, that's pretty good.
Thing.
All right, that's enough, that's enough.
That's terrible.
Yeah, no, that's
Do you even know the song?
That's me and Julio down by the schoolyard. I will tell you that...
I know the song, but that was not...
That was exactly the whistle.
That was perfect. About 3 or 4 years ago, I was doing a video with Dave and Jamie, and I said... I think we're doing like a name that player. And I said like blank down by the schoolyard or me and blank down by the schoolyard. And they had no idea what I was talking about. They did not know that awesome, pretty famous song. Very disappointing.
Haven't they ever seen any Wes Anderson movie?
They don't strike me as the Wes Anderson type. It's more of a Chris Towers thing. I'm actually surprised that Heath knew that song, to be quite honest with you.
I've definitely heard the song.
Okay, good. It's a great song. 12 catches, 300 yards, and a touchdown. And yes, he is Odell Beckham. Thank you for bringing that up. He's very good. Is there anything to say? We start with Julio Jones. We're going to talk about Latavius Murray, Amari Cooper, Arizona wide receivers, Todd Gurley, concussions, so much stuff from week four. But anything to say about Julio Jones other than he is awesome?
I do the live chat every Sunday morning, and I had more than one person, I would say more than 15 people, ask me, they included in their list of players to start Julio Jones, as if there was any question whether you start Julio Jones. I know he only had one catch for, 6 yards last week, but you never sit Julio Jones.
The interesting thing, I think, is, it's hard to believe that you couldn't do this almost every week. We saw Big Ben do it last night with his receivers too.
Yeah.
When you have players like Julio Jones, I kind of don't know why they don't do this more often.
Well, he did not get a lot of targets in the first 3 weeks. He had 20 targets in the first 3 weeks. He had over 200 last year. So it was very weird, but he got 20 in the first 3 weeks combined, 15 yesterday. So, look, they picked on a young cornerback. It didn't matter who was covering Julio Jones. He was unstoppable. And I also think one of the major takeaways is we don't have to fear Carolina for quarterbacks or for wide receivers. And Heath, you brought that up. Maybe Chris did too. I don't quite remember. But Matt Ryan, starter sit in week four. And we said, can't say, oh, he's facing Carolina. This is a tough matchup. Apparently, it is not a tough matchup. So.
Yeah, I think that might also speak to how good Matt Ryan's playing right now, too.
Yeah, can't take anything away from him. These guys been awesome. Why didn't you accept the trade offers I made, Chris, for my Matt Ryan offers? They were actually fair.
Did you see the offer that, Heath, did you see the offer Azer made?
If it was an Adam Azer offer, I don't need to.
What was it, terrible. Sterling Shepard for Melvin Gordon?
Correct. Can I tell you how that
came about?
It's
a good thing you're not in the office.
All right, let me tell you how this came about. This is how most of my bad trade offers come about. I looked at your team. I wanted Melvin Gordon. I looked at my team. I have a surplus of wide receivers. But any wide receiver was either too good, in my opinion, for Melvin Gordon or too bad for Melvin Gordon. So I went with one of the bad ones.
One of the bad ones.
Yeah, and that was just to start the dialogue. I was expecting a counter offer, not a Twitter shaming.
Oh, I'm definitely going to throw shade. Come on.
Yeah, no, you shamed me, and I deserved it. Let's do some fill in the blank, guys. You ready? Here we go. The best Oakland wide receiver rest of season will be blank.
Amari Cooper.
All right, but somebody had him as a loser today. Who? Heath, Chris, which one of you had Amari Cooper in your loser?
I did.
All right, discuss. 5 catches, 48 yards. Yards have decreased every week. Michael Crabtree, 3 touchdowns yesterday. Discuss.
I don't really care about the yards decreasing every week part of it, but the whole touchdown thing is getting a little ridiculous. He is testing my faith in touchdown regression. And I'm going to stick with him, though. I still think he's probably a 1,300-yard guy. I would guess he's going to end up with 6 to 8 touchdowns. The fact that he hasn't scored any yet just means he's going to score them at a higher rate the rest of the year.
Doesn't mean that?
Yep.
He has not scored since week 15 of last season, which is
one more game than this year.
A bit, no. It's two. He didn't score in the final two games last season.
But he was hurt last year at the end.
He was. I'm not worried about Amari Cooper not scoring touchdowns. I do think there is some concern about Michael Crabtree just being a red zone target that they trust a little more.
Yeah.
Yesterday was kind of ridiculous, though. Three touchdowns for Michael Crabtree. Come on. Come on, Derek Carr.
Now, look, we could sit here and say Michael Crabtree is a sell-high candidate because, you know, literally we don't expect him to score three touchdowns or whatever. But do you have to sell high on him? I mean, is this a guy you can start most weeks?
Yes.
Yeah, you can start him most weeks as a flex, maybe as a number two. If I could get, like, definite number two value for him, though, I'd be selling.
Oh, you just don't know what's going to happen. Because last year, he got off to a really good start, and then last half of the season, Crabtree wasn't really that good. He caught some touchdowns, which is, I guess, what you're hoping for, but it was pretty rare to see him get even 80 yards. So
he was extremely inefficient last season as well, which is something worth noting.
Well, it's also possible that his quarterback's just playing better now.
Derek Carr is playing really well right now.
Yeah. All right, so good stuff there. The best Oakland running back rest of season will be blank.
Pass.
I'll stick with Latavius Murray.
I mean, the obvious answer that we'd be looking for would be DeAndre Washington, right?
No, I mean, okay, so there was this whole hubbub about Washington starting and should I start Washington over Murray. Murray got a lot more snaps than him. Murray got the first carries. Washington fumbled in the fourth quarter. So it wasn't a good game. It was a terrible game for Murray, but none of them ran the ball well. And I don't really know what to make of it.
Washington was actually third among their running backs in snaps with 10. Jalen Richard played 15.
Richard! Like,
you do have to go with Latavius Murray almost by default, but they don't seem to like him too much.
Okay, who would you rather have rest of season? Latavius Murray or Jonathan, the injured Jonathan Stewart, or Latavius Murray?
Latavius Murray.
Latavius Murray.
Latavius Murray or Michael Crabtree?
Crabtree.
Yep.
Really? So you're pretty down on Latavius Murray right now?
Well, I mean, they seem to, and this was my concern coming into the season, is they seem to be looking for any reason to go away from Latavius Murray. And he's a, you know, seventh round pick, doesn't make much money, free agent at the end of the season. So they're not invested in him, it doesn't seem.
Okay. Next fill in the blank. The best Baltimore running back rest of season will be blank.
At this point, I think you have to give Terrence West the edge. I mean, Kenneth Dixon was a fourth round pick. Didn't exactly, like, scored a bunch of touchdowns in college, but he, you know, played at, what, Louisiana Tech, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Didn't have, like, a crazy impressive combine. I feel like we were only excited about him because of how bad Terrence West and Justin Forsett have looked.
And that's the thing. Terrence West has had a really bad career.
Yes.
I mean, this might have been the best game that Terrence West has ever had. At least it's up there.
I would assume so, yeah. But we don't have any real reason to think Kenneth Dixon's good.
I will say Terrence West is going to have a very good game in week 5 at home against the Redskins. He's going to be miserable after that, and Kenneth Dixon will be the best running back for the rest of the
year. What's the schedule after that?
At the Giants.
Yeah.
At the Jets.
Bad, yeah.
Steelers at home.
Ooh, that's rough.
By that point, Kenneth Dixon will be the starter.
All right, the best Arizona wide receiver rest of season will be blank.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Not Michael Floyd.
Well, they caught a touchdown. That was cool.
Scored a touchdown.
Yeah, I'll definitely say Larry Fitzgerald.
All right. Heath's got John Brown as a winner, so we'll talk about that in a little bit. And Todd Gurley is a blank running back rest of season. Todd Gurley is a blank running back rest of season.
Elite.
NFL.
Oh, that's quite a difference. 10. Elite and NFL.
Top 10.
Oh, top 10. Yeah, top 10.
Top 5?
Probably not.
Ezekiel Elliott's the new Todd Gurley, right?
He's the new DeMarco Murray.
Yeah.
Well, DeMarco Murray's the best running back in football.
Who would you rather have, DeMarco Murray or Ezekiel Elliott?
Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, that's not even a competition. It's
a competition.
No, it's not. Who would you rather have? I mean, Ezekiel Elliott. My number one running back would be David Johnson. And then I think it's Zeke, too.
Well, okay.
Murray in PPR might be better than Zeke, though.
Maybe.
He's been better in standard than all of them so far.
He has been, yes. Would you rather have Ezekiel Elliott or, well, would you rather, yeah, Ezekiel Elliott or, no, I'm sorry, DeMarco Murray or Todd Gurley? That's what I was going to ask.
Murray.
I guess Murray, yeah.
All right, Gurley right now is averaging 2.6 yards per carry. Mm-hmm. He's had one good game and three really bad ones. Buffalo at Detroit, then the Giants, then a bye. Then Carolina, then at the Jets. I mean, I think the next 2 weeks could be all right for him. Buffalo's been solid against the run, but giving up five touchdowns, three to Forte, two to Johnson. Other than that, they've been pretty good. Then at Detroit, that should be good. Giants by Carolina at the Jets. It's kind of rough. And he's not taking, I mean, he's had four tough matchups, Todd Gurley. And he's been pretty bad in all of them. Was lucky to get two touchdowns at Tampa Bay. So convince me that he's a top five running back.
I don't think his schedule is going to be quite this bad the whole year. I love the fact that they started involving him in the passing game because he didn't have a terrible PPR day yesterday.
That was good. Yeah, it was good to see.
He's going to score the touchdowns if they get in close to the goal line.
We also, there's no way he continues to run for sub 3 yards per carry.
Probably
not. It doesn't matter how bad we think St. Louis's offensive line is. It doesn't matter how bad we think the offense is as a whole. He averaged, what, 4.8 last year?
He'll break one.
Things didn't get that much worse. He's not half as good as he was last season.
Yeah.
There aren't any running backs. I don't think there are more than two running backs that we think will get even a comparable workload to him. Maybe Elliott, maybe Lamar Miller.
Yeah. Well, in terms of carries, yeah. Who would you rather have? Lamar Miller, who's also struggling, hasn't had a run longer than 15 yards this year, or Todd Gurley?
Gurley.
Lamar Miller is really lucky that Todd Gurley struggled this season.
I know, right? Crazy. Gurley had five catches yesterday, as Heath alluded to, for 49 yards. Only had three catches coming into the game. I'd like to see this continue. He had a stretch last year of four straight games with either three or four catches. Looked like he was going to be, you know, somewhat of a factor in the passing game. But after that, only five combined catches over his next six games. So it was very inconsistent. And how about those Rams? 3-1! Beating up on the Seahawks and the Cardinals. Pretty good. Pretty good. All right, fill in the blank. Last one. I am ready to drop blank.
I think the thing I've been most wrong about this season is Golden Tate. I'm ready to drop him across the board.
Yeah, I actually made a big deal on saying on Sunday that Jim Bob Cooter had said not to give up on Golden Tate, so I wasn't going to give up on Golden Tate. And then Jim Bob Cooter gave up on Golden Tate in the second half. They benched him.
Yeah, apparently he ran the wrong route on Matt Stafford's interception at the end of the first half is what it looked like.
He owned up to it. What happened. So, yeah.
I don't know what the hell happened to him.
Yeah, I think Jamie brought it up first. I think it's not playing in the slot. He's been playing a lot more on the outside. Bolden's good. Bolden takes away from some of his targets. Ebron's emerged. I think it makes some sense, actually.
But this happened last year.
What happened last year?
He wasn't good last year.
Who wasn't good? Tate?
Golden Tate.
He was good.
He averaged like 8.9 yards per catch.
Oh, well, look, Calvin Johnson averaged a very low yard per catch last year. I think they just changed their offense with very quick, short passes. I think that was part of it. But he still, Tate was worth owning last year. I mean, this year he's not.
Yeah, he had 90 catches for 813 yards. He wasn't good. Like, his yards dropped 500 from the previous.
How many touchdowns?
Six.
So he was useful. He wasn't. Yeah. He wasn't this bad, Chris. And
he wasn't
so uninvolved.
He wasn't this bad, no. But there's a clear decline going on, and I'm not sure what happened.
Okay. Well, I. So we all think Golden Tate's droppable, right?
Yes.
Heath, who are you ready to drop?
I'll go with Tajay Sharp.
Mm-hmm.
He had his opportunity with Kendall Wright gone. And I just don't think now with everybody in that offense healthy, he still got seven targets, only caught two of them for 15 yards.
I think he's had seven targets in each game.
He had 11 in week one.
Well, at least seven.
Then seven in each game. Yeah. 7-7-7 the last 3 weeks.
And he just hasn't done anything with them.
Yeah. Mariota's not playing well.
Nope.
And I'll go with Chris Ivory. I don't love dropping running backs. It's not an automatic drop for me. He still got the goal line work, but that was a big game for Yeldon. Yeldon looked so much better than Ivory. They're not running the ball that well anyway, and they're going into a bye. So how do you guys feel about that? If you have to drop someone this week, Chris Ivory, are you all right with that?
100%.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to the big news. Cam Newton suffered a concussion strolling into the end zone. Derek Anderson came in and, you know, threw the two picks. He did all right, though, for fantasy. 17 for 23, 172 yards, two touchdowns. Anderson, this is encouraging news if you're a Kelvin Benjamin or Greg Olsen owner. Anderson started two games in 2014. In both of those games, Olsen and Benjamin scored double-digit fantasy points. In one game, they both caught a touchdown and had at least 80 yards. In the other game, they both went over 100 yards. So he seems like a fairly capable backup. But guys, what sucks, this is, oh, Cam Newton owners, you're getting so excited. Tampa Bay and at New Orleans in the next 2 weeks, and then a bye. We don't know the severity of it, but you want Cam Newton for these two games.
The good news is they do play on Monday in week five, so he'll have that extra day to prepare.
All right,
the bad news is you might not know if he's going to play by Sunday.
Yeah, I think, Anderson, if you're stuck, guys, I mean, Tampa Bay and at New Orleans in the next two games, and he's, like I said, he's not terrible.
Not a bad streaming option.
No, but I think I'd rather stream Brian Hoyer. You guys seen Brian Hoyer's upcoming matchups?
Yeah.
Good stuff. And he came through yesterday. Derek Anderson scored 16 fantasy points yesterday on 23 attempts. Carson Palmer is probably not going to play this week because they have a short week. They're facing San Francisco, and Palmer is in the concussion protocol. And, guys, this is a different situation because Drew Stanton has been nothing but bad. I went and I looked at every start he made in 2014 or every game in which he threw a significant amount of passes. There were some good games in there. Michael Floyd had a couple of, I think, two touchdown games. But, I mean, it was bad. Thursday night, if Drew Stanton's playing, can you start any Cardinals wide receiver?
I think you could start Fitzgerald and PPR, but that's probably it.
Okay. Trevor Siemian left with a sprained AC joint in his left shoulder. That's not such a bad injury. Paxton Lynch did an okay job. 14 for 24, 170 yards and a touchdown. The Jets are backing Ryan Fitzpatrick after his three interceptions.
My favorite was the quote after the game from
Marshall.
I believe head coach Todd Bowles, right?
Yep. That's his name.
I believe he said my feelings, something like my feelings on Ryan Fitzpatrick have not changed since the start of the season. Now I'm looking at it like I feel the same way. I don't think we mean the same thing, but we're coming to the same conclusion.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's no good. But the two of the interceptions weren't necessarily his fault, but still. Dwayne Washington left in the first half with a leg injury, and Theoretic still got the early work. So it still looked like Washington, it's not like they were just feeding him the ball, and he was the new starting running back. John Fox said Chicago's going to ride Jordan Howard going forward. Howard is a winner for Heath. We'll get to that. Doug Baldwin told ESPN that Tyler Lockett has a torn PCL in his knee. Guys, drop Lockett?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, Jimmy Graham, I don't know if you guys were able to see a lot of what he did. It wasn't just the numbers. He made some very difficult catches.
Yeah.
It looks like we have now a big four at tight end. Where would you rank Jimmy Graham at the position going forward?
Seven or eight.
No. Who would you put in front of him?
Reed, Olsen.
Gronk.
Gronk.
Right.
I would still probably put Ertz coming back this week ahead of him.
Okay, okay.
I would still probably put Kelce ahead of him.
That is interesting. Okay. Delanie Walker? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, Delanie Walker, for sure.
For sure? I mean, Jimmy Graham looks like he's back.
He is, I mean... It's as if they were asking Jason Witten to run 40 yards down the field. He's not fast at all. He's making some nice catches with his body. I don't know that it holds up.
Okay. Chris, how about you? Who would you rank ahead of Jimmy Graham going forward?
I think he's certainly in that next group. I don't know if I would put him seven or eight. I think he's between the number four and number seven spot.
Okay. Works for me. Hey, Jordan Reed, welcome back, by the way. Let's see.
He never went anywhere.
Yeah. Andrew Luck has been pressured on 41.8% of his dropbacks. So we got a chance, you know, since that game was on at 9:30 in the morning Eastern, we got a chance to sit down and watch an entire Colts game again. And
lucky us.
Man, was that pathetic or what?
They're terrible.
That offensive line, look, they're banged up. I get it, but they just did an awful job. And, I don't know. Brutal. Just brutal. And Navarro Bowman. This is a pretty significant injury. Great news for David Johnson. Not that you need any more reason to start him, but Bowman left with a non-contact injury. And Ezekiel Elliott, in the third quarter, Ezekiel Elliott had 53 rushing yards midway through the third quarter. Navarro Bowman gets hurt. Elliott goes for 23 yards on the next play And then he finishes that drive with 6 carries for 50 yards and a touchdown after Bowman left the game. He is a huge deal to the Niners' run defense, and they're going to struggle as long as he's out. All right, guys, we love giving fantasy advice every week. We also love saving you money. So how about $20 off your first purchase on SeatGeek? You want to go to a game or a concert? Please do what I do. Use SeatGeek. In fact, all three of us have the SeatGeek app on our phones. We've all used it. So just download it. Give it a try or go to SeatGeek.com if you want to be old school. Now, when you search for an event, SeatGeek searches multiple ticket sites, pulls in a lot of search results, and that's how you get the best prices and the best deals. And if you want to save $20, use our offer code. It's FFT. That's FFT as in fantasy football today. So SeatGeek gives every ticket a rank based on value. It makes things so simple for you. You're looking for the best deal. SeatGeek lets you know it immediately. And of course, the best part, that $20 rebate. Download the SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab. Click add a promo code. Enter the promo code FFT. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code FFT. Chris, I feel like Heath is a little downtrodden today. What do you think? What's your read?
Yeah, Heath's in a mood.
Yeah, what's Heath's going on over mood. There, Heath? Can we talk about it? You want us to help?
I'm perfectly fine. I have no problems. I'm not even mad. I actually think it's funny.
You know, actually, I think I know what it is.
What?
The Chiefs.
No.
Yeah, they got spanked.
They were terrible, but...
I watched about the first half of the first quarter of that game and then just turned on Luke Cage.
I might...
Turn on what?
Luke Cage?
What the heck is that?
The new Netflix Marvel series. It's great.
Did you watch the Amanda Knox documentary?
No.
I recommend it. It's very good.
My 15-year-old just finished Stranger Things, Adam.
And what did he or she...
He.
What did he think?
And he loved it.
Has it's the 7-year-old awesome. Watched it?
Said it was amazing.
It's awesome. But boy,
I've still not seen 1 second of it, and my 7-year-old will not be watching it, no.
Yeah,
and no, I'm not upset about the Chiefs. I might get to a point as a Chiefs fan where I get emotional about them again, but it won't be during the Alex Smith era.
It's easier to lose as a fan. It's easier to deal with a blowout that's never even in question than the gut-wrenching.
It's just easier loss. To deal with losses when you know that your team is not going anywhere because your quarterback's Alex Smith.
That's a good point.
Like, the season was decided before the season.
Well, let's make Heath happy.
Oh, the Royals season ended yesterday. That's what it was.
Oh, well, the Royals season ended a couple of weeks ago. But Heath, let's get Heath going here. Heath, give me a couple of winners from Sunday's action.
John Brown's the number two in Arizona again. It's a beautiful thing. Played 91% of the snaps yesterday. He's getting double-digit targets for the second consecutive week. Did very well with him with 144 receiving yards. Smokey is back.
Are we sure being the number two wide receiver in Arizona is quite a good thing anymore?
Yes. No, I mean, if Carson Palmer is out for a month, then no, it's terrible.
What if Carson Palmer's healthy?
Then it's fine. He got 144 receiving yards. It was a very good thing yesterday, Chris.
Okay. Yeah, come on. I know, Chris, you made a very good point about why you avoided them, but I think maybe you're sinking them a little bit too low, but you've made your point and it's valid.
Like, I'm pretty sure John Brown's getting close to living up to his ADP now.
Well,
just because he was being drafted like the 33rd receiver off the board or something.
Yeah. Okay. It's hard for me to defend Michael Floyd. He's having some issues and he dropped a pass early in the game and then he basically got benched. But then he came back kind of strong. He dropped another pass. It's almost like he's got some mental issues. They showed a lot of that game on Red Zone, and he just looked sort of downtrodden, like Heath this morning. It's the second time I've used that word on the show today. That's weird.
John Brown is getting close to justifying his ADP. He is 55th.
Don't count out Floyd yet, people.
We should do the update of the Kelvin Benjamin.
He does have John Brown does have 1.4 more points than Jaron Brown. So he is the best Jay Brown on his team.
Listen, you're not going to make an argument anymore that Michael Floyd's good, are you?
Of course I am. Are you kidding me? Why? Because of 4 games? I mean, this is the thing that happens in
4 or 5 years.
No, it's not. Look at what he did at the second half of last year. And you know
right.
what?
So what about the other 4.5?
Why don't you make the argument that Brandon Cooks is bad? Brandon Cooks bad?
We need to not do this because he keeps doing this thing where 2013 wasn't good for Michael Floyd.
Michael Floyd only trails Kelvin Benjamin now by 19.7 fantasy points.
Look.
Seems honestly felt like more.
Yeah.
You think Michael Floyd is a bad player? Is that what you think?
I think Michael Floyd is somebody that's been viewed as this getting ready to be great for way too long, and nobody else would give this long to be great.
Well, that's completely different than me saying that he's not good. So tell me how you feel about Michael Floyd, because he basically just said he's not good.
If Michael Floyd gets into a situation where there aren't any other good wide receivers on his team, he might be a number two.
Oh, okay. Or like he was a total number one at the end of last year. And already we are seeing the same thing happen that happened to Larry Fitzgerald last year. Gets off to an amazing start, and then he's basically not worth starting.
This is exact. Like, I've been wrong about a lot of things.
No, you're right. You've been right about this.
I hate to point out the things that I'm right about because it's cherry picking. Like, I'm not smart. I'm a dumb man. But, like, this was why I didn't want the Arizona Cardinals wide receivers.
Yeah.
Because it's not clear what the hierarchy is. It's not clear Carson Palmer is going to be.
If you had Larry Fitzgerald, you're not mad about it.
I mean, you have been the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
So that's half the season. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You're not wrong about Larry Fitzgerald. But Chris's point is very astute. And I can't sit here and defend Michael Floyd anymore. I do think he's a good player.
Can you just say I'm right?
You were right. Yeah. But I
need
like
to say it.
I'm certainly worried about Michael Floyd's breakout. But I just don't think you can say with certainty that John Brown is the number two receiver. He might be next week, but that doesn't mean he will be in 3 weeks. Things change a lot there in that situation. But he's okay. A winner. You are right. Also, Jordan Howard.
Yeah. We all thought Jordan Howard was the best running back in Chicago in like July. So it's nice to see the Bears decide. I mean, it took a Jeremy Langford injury, but they gave him the ball. I was encouraged by his work in the passing game because the game scripts are going to be much worse than this one probably for a majority of the season. But if he can be productive in the passing game as well, then he's going to be very good. The most encouraging thing, John Fox doesn't generally like rookie running backs. Him saying that they are going to ride him after giving him 24 carries against the Lions, very encouraging. I would expect Jordan Howard to be the starter in Chicago every game that he's healthy for the rest of the year. And probably the starter on your fantasy team, too.
Let's take a look at the schedule. I like the next, you know, this upcoming week at Indianapolis. Then Jacksonville. Not a bad defense, Jacksonville. Then it gets pretty tough. At Green Bay, got one of the best run defenses in the NFL right now. Minnesota, we know how good they are. Then a bye, then at Tampa Bay, then at the Giants. That's a really tough five-game stretch. Four games and then a bye in between there. But if he's going to get around 20 carries... You know, look what Kristen Michael did yesterday at the Jets, you know. Do you think he's probably a number two running back rest of the season at worst?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't say at worst. But my expectation is that he's somewhere in the 18 to 24 range.
Chris's winners, Ben Roethlisberger and Isaiah Crowell. Ben Roethlisberger with 5 touchdowns and 44 fantasy points.
Yeah, that was surgical. You know, he's got Le'Veon Bell back, but he doesn't just have Le'Veon Bell, the running back, back. They're going to use him as a wide receiver. They're going to use him as a pass catcher out of the backfield. And, you know, I looked it up last season, 8.8% of Le'Veon Bell snaps came, split out wide. I want to see what that number was last night. Because that
he was there a lot.
This team doesn't have a reliable number two wide receiver right now. But with Le'Veon Bell there, with Antonio Brown there, he can make up the rest of it. And he looked really good yesterday.
Yeah, I shouldn't say he was there a lot. I mean, they definitely used him and Williams at the same time. By the way, if you missed it, if you fell asleep or just stopped watching, D'Angelo Williams got a short touchdown run at the end of the game, but that was after a long Le'Veon Bell run. They took Bell out and put D'Angelo in. And that often happens. A guy makes a long run, he comes out of the game. And also Travis Kelce had the mother of all garbage time touchdowns.
Le'Veon Bell lined up, split out wide.
More often than he did behind Roethlisberger, right?
27% of the time he was split out either as a wide receiver or a tight end in line.
That's pretty good. But what I was going to say is like, I think, well, I got a question on Twitter. Should I drop D'Angelo Williams? I think.
No.
No.
I don't know. I mean, look, he's the best handcuff. He's one of the best handcuffs in football. That's all he is. Why would you keep him?
Because people still have Derrick Henry on their team.
Why would you keep Derrick Henry?
You aren't carrying any more handcuffs?
I am trying only to carry my handcuffs. I do. Look, I understand. Like, I have Alfred Morris, just in case.
Yeah, I'd rather have Williams than Morris.
But they're both guys that are going to be good if the starter goes down.
Sure.
It's just if you're in a roster crunch, here come a lot of buys. What are you going to do with a guy that you're definitely sitting? I would maybe try to trade him to the Le'Veon owner for something small, something.
Sure. Williams did play 17 snaps yesterday.
Yeah.
That's not enough to start, but it's a sign that he could still have a role.
All right, Chris, as far as Roethlisberger goes, I mean, he does this. He does have a lot of, you know, for you know, relatively speaking, a lot of 5-6 touchdown games. And he's usually not good on the road. So he has a very good road game this year at Cincinnati, and also a very bad road game at Philadelphia. They're at Washington next week. So, or they're at,
they're at
Miami in 2 weeks. I'm sorry. He already went at Washington. Oh, I'm sorry. The road game was at Washington. I apologize. I said it was at Cincinnati. It was at Washington. He played well. 2 weeks they're at Miami. I don't know. Well,
I'm not worried. I'm not worried about him playing at Miami.
Yeah. Isaiah Crowell is another guy for you. 15 carries, 112 yards, and a touchdown. Rushing touchdown of the year.
This is one where I've been an Isaiah Crowell truther for like 3 years, and I finally stopped making noise about it this offseason. And I still drafted him a fair amount, but I wasn't like, hey, guys, Isaiah Crowell might be good because he was a big recruit out of high school. He really hadn't shown anything in the NFL. And now he's starting to do it. He looks really good.
I think I'd sell high. He has looked really good, but I'm really afraid when the game scripts start going bad for them, and they're going to, what's going to happen to his workload. Because he was really good last year whenever he got 12 carries.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of his cutoff, and he's gotten that early in the year. But they're playing New England this week in Brady's first game back, and they're going to get just crushed.
I mean, if Bill Belichick couldn't get anything going on offense with Jacoby Brissett, who Twitter told me is great.
Twitter did not tell you that.
I had multiple people tell me that the Patriots had three better quarterbacks than Ryan Tannehill last week.
Well, okay, that's
silly. Be great to be better than Tannehill.
Those people are Patriots fans.
But yeah, I mean, you look at the schedule in the next 4 weeks at Tennessee's probably the only game where I'm going to feel great about starting him.
All right. Crowell or Jordan Howard, rest of season.
That's a really good one. You're good at this game, Adam.
Yeah. I'm probably going to say Howard because I think he can be more involved in the passing game.
Okay. My two winners are a couple of... Oh, Chris, did you want to weigh in there? Sorry, Crowell or Howard?
I'd probably go Crowell just because there is still a chance that Langford gets the job back. They don't seem to like Duke Johnson as a running back.
My two winners are Will Fuller and Terrell Pryor. I'll make this quick. Both guys are widely owned, 90% or more, but started in less than 70% of leagues. And I think both are good. I think Will Fuller is obviously a blazer. I mean, you saw that punt return for a touchdown. The guy's got amazing speed. Tennessee tried to take DeAndre Hopkins out of the game. They did. Fuller benefited. And next week could be tough at Minnesota, but and then at Denver in a few weeks. But I think for the most part, you're starting Will Fuller. And I think for the most part, you're starting Terrell Pryor. He caught a touchdown with Josh Norman on him in coverage. In fact, he got double teamed, but 5 catches, 46 yards, and a touchdown. New England coming up this upcoming week. New England usually does pretty well against number ones. But still, what do you guys think? We can wrap it up on Fuller and Pryor. I think that they are typically going to be starting for their fantasy owners.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Will Fuller now has one more target on the year than DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, it's really weird.
That's bad news for Hopkins.
It's not good.
Starting to hate Brock Osweiler.
And the losers, Heath's losers, Golden Tate we talked about, and Amari Cooper we talked about, but tell me how you feel about Cooper rest of season. Where would you rank him? Where, you know, let's say we were drafting today. He was, let's say, a late round two pick in 12-team leagues. Where is he now for you, Amari Cooper?
No, he hasn't really fallen that far, mid-round three. I mean, the only reason he's a loser is just because he's not getting those red zone targets. But I don't think that that's necessarily predictive of what's going to happen in the second half of the year, especially if teams really start focusing on taking Crabtree away in the red zone. I would look at him as just a solid number two, whereas before I thought he was one of the number twos that had a chance to make a jump into the top five.
Is there any chance that his, I know I've decried drops, but is there any chance that his drops may lead Derek Carr to trust him less in the red zone? Because Amari Cooper does have a drop problem in the NFL.
It's possible. It's possible. Would you rather have Alshon Jeffrey or Amari Cooper rest of season?
Cooper.
Alshon.
Alshon, no touch. Do either of those guys have a touchdown this year?
I don't think so. Zach Miller's getting all the touchdowns in Chicago.
Yeah, that was something that actually was fairly predictable. I'm glad it actually happened because we talked about it on the show. Hoyer, good start. Miller, good start. Detroit, so bad against tight ends, and it came true. Chris's losers, Kenneth Dixon. So do you think Kenneth Dixon is still worth owning with the Terrence West big game?
Sure, but, you know, we had reached the point where Kenneth Dixon was actually owned in more leagues than Terrence West. Mm-hmm. I believe 1% difference in their ownership. You can definitely drop Justin Forsett now, so that's good. I think Dixon is worth owning. I think he will get a shot, but we're still talking about someone who's coming off a sprained MCL, you know, has no NFL carries. We might have gotten ahead of ourselves with Dixon.
Yeah. And your other loser is Carson Palmer. This is interesting. So concussion, is that part of it or not?
Not really about the concussion, although you probably are going to lose him. And even if he does play, it's hard to play him on Thursday night, coming off a concussion.
Yeah.
He hasn't looked good. He had one really good game. He had one okay game. But he has not played well this season. He has really regressed. It's not just the numbers. His play has regressed.
I would still say, like, people are going to be dropping him this week to pick up a quarterback to play, probably. And if that happened and I would
be fine picking him up. Yeah. If I have, like, I've got a lot of leagues where I have, like, Eli Manning. I think Carson Palmer can be roughly Eli Manning-esque.
Because he's had 4 weeks, and two of them you're very happy with out of your starting quarterback, 22 and 30 fantasy points. One of them was a complete disaster. And then the game yesterday, he left early in the fourth quarter, midway through the fourth quarter, two or three drives left in the game. He's one good drive away from another good game. So he was about on pace for just a regular starting quarterback game.
Yeah, but 22 fantasy points you're happy with, but Carson Palmer was a quarterback that you targeted in drafts. You're not happy with one really good game and one okay game out of four.
I want to bet on the Cardinals to figure this out and to get going again, you know? I have faith in them. They're 1-3, right? It's ridiculous.
Yes. It's a 37-year-old quarterback who had never played as well as he did last season.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. And my losers are DeSean Jackson. Man, I don't do rankings. I don't write columns. If I did and I had a start of the week, it probably would have been DeSean Jackson. I was expecting huge things from him because, gosh, Cleveland was so bad against wide receivers. He's their best wide receiver. We thought Kirk Cousins would have a good game, and he did. Jackson had one catch for 5 yards on two targets. He did, however, draw two pass interference calls, one of 50 yards and one of 21 yards. But the reason DeSean Jackson is a loser to me is just because I think he's unpredictable. In the leagues I've had him in, I think I've sat him for his two good games and I've started him for his two bad games. And that's kind of what you're dealing with when you have a deep
threat.
This is
most of DeSean Jackson's career, right?
Yeah, this is the DeSean Jackson thing.
And that's why I never wanted to draft DeSean Jackson when he was going in, you know, fifth-ish round. But now that he was falling to like the seventh or the eighth round, I actually picked him up in a lot of leagues. And I think he'll have a nice year, but he's going to be a little frustrating.
Yeah, he always is.
Mm-hmm. And Brandon Cooks, guys, gosh.
Ugh.
Brandon Cooks, 3 catches, 31 yards. He had a huge game in week one. He had 143 yards and 2 touchdowns. Since then, he has had 112 combined yards in 3 games. I will remind everyone, the first 7 games of 2015, Cooks averaged 6.7 fantasy points per game in standard leagues, only one game with more than 8 fantasy points. The last 9 games, he pretty much doubled that. And doubled his fantasy output. He was the number 7 wide receiver basically over the last 9 games. Oh, yeah, whatever.
And if you take out one play, he had 45 yards on 5 catches in week one.
Yeah, is this something we should be really concerned about?
We got a little carried away, I think, with Brandon Cooks as a possible number 1 wide receiver. He's a good boomer bust number 2, and the arrival of Michael Thomas is bad for him. Because watching this game, and I think it was mostly because of Jason Verrett, but if you just watched the Saints play against the Chargers and hadn't seen any of the other games, you would assume Michael Thomas was our number 1 wide receiver.
What do you make of Willie Snead having a bad game?
I don't think Willie Snead was quite ready to play. I didn't see his snap count, but I know watching the game, he did not play near the number of snaps of Michael Thomas. Kobe Flaner looked like garbage again.
Yeah, but he almost got a touchdown, Heath.
So I'm not worried about Willie Snead. Once Willie Snead's healthy, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, Thomas led the team in snaps at wide receiver with 77%, 56. Cooks played 50. Snead played 49. Brandon Coleman played 18. And it just, Drew Brees is spreading the ball around a ton right now.
He's also, he's faced some pretty good, the last 3 weeks for Cooks, I don't know who was lined up on him the entire time, but Janoris Jenkins has had a good year. Trufant for Atlanta. Verrett for San Diego. Is that a possible explanation? They have a bye this week, and then Carolina. I mean, he could take advantage of Carolina at home.
It's definitely a possibility. I would definitely look to play him in week six.
I think the way you have to look at it now is Cooks is a high-end or mid-range boomer bust wide receiver two. Snead is a low-end boomer bust wide receiver two. And Thomas is a boomer bust number three.
And cool. Flynn is a boomer bust low-end tight end.
Yes.
And yesterday was just a stupid game for the Saints. Well, John Kuhn scored 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, but you know
that's
what?
That's just stupid.
Well, the way Kobe Fleener has played so far this year, if I have a choice between handing it off to John Kuhn and asking him to fall forward for a yard or throwing it in the end zone and seeing what Fleener does with it, it makes sense from a football perspective.
But you saw the play where he threw the ball to Kobe Fleener in the end zone. It would have been a touchdown. And John Kuhn jumped right in front of it and caught the ball. He took away a touchdown from Kobe Fleener. But
he was afraid that Fleener was going to drop it, so he jumped in and grabbed it real quick.
In all seriousness,
they should trade for Dennis Pitta.
Drew Brees outdoors is not the same quarterback. Last year,
we looked it up. What was it, Heath? Like 4 points worse since getting to New Orleans per game?
Yes.
Outdoors or on the road?
Outdoors.
Yeah, and they've got a lot of outdoor games coming up. At Kansas City in a few weeks, at San Francisco, at Carolina, at Tampa Bay.
The dumbest thing that we found when looking at that, though, I don't think it's outdoors. Because his road games indoors are worse than his road games outdoors.
Yeah, slightly. Really? It's like 0.1 point
He's
worse.
Just bad on the road.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
But he's not bad. He still averages like 19 fantasy points per game.
Not Drew Brees.
Over an 11-year span. But it's like 23 or 24 at home.
Let me run through the news and notes real quick here. Chris Johnson left with a groin injury. Thomas Rawls is expected to miss all of October. And, Chris
Michaels. Getting that job back.
Yeah. Devin Funchess left with a toe injury in the fourth quarter. Kevin White left with an ankle injury. Eric Ebron dealing with knee and ankle injuries. He's been playing through it. Offensive line, Pittsburgh, right tackle Marcus Gilbert, ankle injury. Jacksonville left guard Luke Jokel left with a knee injury. They have a bye. That's good news. San Diego left guard Orlando Franklin hurt his knee. And the Jets right guard Brian Winters left in the second with a concussion. Second quarter concussion and defensive news. Going into week 4, it's kind of interesting. We always like shut down corners. Pro Football Focus rated Oakland's David Amerson as the best cornerback in the NFL. And it looked like he was doing a pretty good job on Steve Smith before Smith just stiff-armed him and completely owned Amerson and had a long touchdown catch. But, you know, just something to keep in mind. Thomas Davis left with a hamstring injury for Carolina. The Redskins got beat up yesterday. Ryan Kerrigan's going to have an MRI on his injured elbow, and 2 safeties left with concussions. Arizona safety Tyvon Branch left with a groin injury. Gerald McCoy, Tampa Bay defensive tackle, left with a calf injury. CJ Anderson, man, could talk about him. Oakland linebacker Malcolm Smith left with a groin injury. Darrell Revis, hamstring injury. Denzel Perryman, San Diego linebacker, hurt his shoulder. Some random stuff. The Patriots were shut out at home for the first time since 1993. The Chargers are 1-3. They have lost a fourth quarter lead in all 3 of those losses. And have you guys seen the newest internet sensation, Pineapple Pen?
No.
What?
It's the new Gangnam Style. It's the worst thing I've ever seen, and it has like 35 million views.
I'm not looking at it.
Nope.
Please don't look at it. But you should, because everybody needs to know about it.
Nope.
Pineapple Pen. Hot takes on Hunter Henry.
He's the best tight end in San Diego. If Antonio Gates were to just retire tomorrow, he'd be a top 8 or 9 tight end for the rest of the year.
But what happens when Gates comes back?
He's worthless.
You think so? Hot take, Brian Hoyer.
He's fine.
Good streaming option this week. He was a good streaming option last week. As long as Cutler's hurt, he'll probably be in play.
Let's see. He's what, 7% owned? Brian Hoyer. His upcoming matchups. New England at Tennessee, at Cincinnati, Jets, Dallas. Not bad.
That's true. I think he plays Indianapolis this week.
I might have gotten the... Oh, yeah, I looked at the wrong thing. Sorry.
Yeah,
I put him on Cleveland. I looked at Cleveland's schedule. I put him back on Cleveland.
I would stream him. I think I have one league where I've had to have Jimmy Garoppolo. So I would stream Brian Hoyer there.
Okay, now I've got a schedule at Indianapolis, Jacksonville, at Green Bay, Minnesota, and a bye. The next three matchups, not so bad.
Yeah, you got two good starts left.
Okay, let's go to the games. Talk some football here. Jacksonville 30, Indianapolis 27. Anything here?
I got to do a fight on Sunday morning with Pete Prisco over whether Andrew Luck's elite. I don't. Sure hasn't looked like it so far this year.
It's a crap situation for him.
We do a really good job of making up excuses for Andrew Luck.
You've watched football,
you make excuses for lots of guys.
If you don't think Andrew Luck is good, I don't really know what
I'm
to
not
say.
Saying he's good. He's not good. I'm just saying, like, he was anointed in the Tom Brady, Drew Brees class of quarterbacks, and he's not there.
He's not there, but he's not far. From a fantasy standpoint,
in the top third.
From a fantasy standpoint, though, we've seen Andrew Luck be the number one quarterback in fantasy, and I was very high on him this year.
Right.
How do you guys feel about him going forward?
I'll start him most of the time because I drafted him really high. If I have him,
yeah, I would expect him to still be I think I had him ranked fifth or sixth coming into the year, and that's about what I feel like he is. He's a guy you start almost every single week.
I'm starting Matt Ryan over him right now.
That's exactly what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Not for the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
Oh, because he's got Seattle and Denver, right?
Matt Ryan? I think you probably bench Matt Ryan for the next 2 weeks and then don't bench him again the rest of the year.
Okay, let's go on to our next game, and that would be Chicago and Detroit. Theo Riddick. Worth owning in standard scoring leagues?
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
Really?
He's not a good running back, though.
Yeah.
But he's going to get enough total yardage to where...
He cannot run the ball.
Okay. Do you think Kevin White led the team in targets and left with an injury? So I don't know that this was necessarily a bad game for him. Six catches for 55 yards. What do you think? Like, Kevin White, should he be owned in more leagues? Is 51% owned?
Let's see how bad the injury is.
Yeah, 51% sounds fine. I've got him in a couple leagues. If I see him on waivers, I'm not rushing out to add him, though.
Anything else from Chicago and Detroit, guys?
I think Zach Miller is pretty close to a must start this week against Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm. Miller
that's
is 65%.
Pretty much it.
Because tight end is so bad, sure, but he had three targets. I'm not going to like rush out to grab him because he has three touchdowns in two games.
You know, Matthew Stafford, very frustrating, 7 fantasy points. They got the Eagles and then the Rams and then the Redskins, 3 straight home games. For Stafford and the Lions. Gosh, I read an article in the Free Press today. Just, they are not very high on the Lions offense. At least this one writer wasn't. I didn't really have that perception. I thought they played better than the scoreboard against Tennessee and obviously were horrible yesterday. But I don't know. Are you guys down on the Lions offense in general?
I think it hurts them losing Abdullah.
Yeah.
But I'm not
sure they have a running game.
I'm not totally down on him, no.
Okay. Buffalo 16, New England nothing. There's really not much to say about New England. They're going to be completely different starting this week. LeGarrette Blount had only 13 carries for 54 yards, but 10 of them came in the first half. So, and the Patriots only had the ball for 23 minutes and 49 seconds. So you know what happened there. It was just game flow. That's it. Rob Gronkowski, one catch.
If you're worried about Gronk, please trade him to me.
Yeah, let me ask you about Robert Woods, though, with Sammy Watkins on IR. Robert Woods, 7 catches, 89 yards on 10 targets. I looked at the 3 games that Watkins missed last year, and in those 3 games, it was a different guy every week. One week it was Charles Clay, one week it was Robert Woods. I don't remember who
Chris
was
Hogan,
the third
maybe?
Week. Are you guys interested in picking up Robert Woods?
I moved my rankings for the first time this year. I think in a deeper league, absolutely. In a standard league, probably not, unless you're just looking for like a 1 week starter.
I'm in some leagues where Eddie Royal is owned, so Robert Woods can be owned.
Would you drop Tajay Sharp for Robert Woods?
Yeah.
Sure.
All right, Seattle 27 and the Jets 17. Russell Wilson, did he calm all your fears?
Yes. Yeah, he looked fantastic. I don't know how Russell Wilson has catastrophic injuries every week and heals over the course of like 4 days.
I was really skeptical. Like, There were multiple reports coming out before the game with like very detailed, like, this is all the workouts that Russell Wilson's doing. And it felt like the lady doth protest too much kind of situation. We're like, no, he's totally fine, guys. Look, he's doing stretches. He's wearing a brace. It felt like gaslighting. And, he's pretty good.
Yeah, but he did move around in the pocket pretty well, but he doesn't have a lot of rushing yards this year. He is not running the ball. And last year, Wilson averaged 35 rushing yards per game. This year, he has not had more than 16 rushing yards in a game. That's something to keep in mind, I think. They have a bye this week. Heal up in that bye week, come out and run all over the place, Russell Wilson.
It was a bad game for Doug Baldwin, but he missed a little bit of time with an injury, right?
I didn't see that much.
He only played 45 snaps. They
never play their wide receivers more than about 80% of the time. Yeah. They're one of those teams that...
That's 70. I thought I saw him get hurt during the game, but then he came back, so I don't think it was anything serious.
He could use the bye week too, but I think the worry with Baldwin is just that he didn't take off last year until Jimmy Graham got hurt. Graham's right. back, 8 targets, 2 straight 100-yard games, 18 targets over his last 2 games. So I'm not really worried. I think that they can sustain 2 guys. I think it's going to be Lockett that gets hurt, and I think Baldwin's going to be fine. Is that how you guys feel?
Yeah, I think Baldwin's a borderline number 2.
Let me see. I'm just looking at his snap percentage for the season.
Okay, you can come back to us with that. Houston 27, Tennessee 20. All right, who are you more worried about living up to their value, Lamar Miller or DeAndre Hopkins?
Hopkins.
I wrote about Hopkins today, and believe it or not, I think it's more likely than not that he's a bust at wide receiver this year.
Really?
Based on the fact that he had a first-round ADP, he had 2 games all year last year with less than 9 targets. He has 3 already this year.
Yeah.
Do you think, it's like now we got to start feeding DeAndre Hopkins?
He's on pace for like 130 targets, which is 60 less than he got. And it's just he wasn't efficient enough, and he's not going to be efficient enough to be top 5, top 6, top 8 with those type of targets.
The expectation was that he would be more efficient.
And then I think the other problem is I don't see a reason to believe they're going to start force feeding him. If you really want to give Lamar Miller 25 touches in a game and you have a good number 2 in Will Fuller, you shouldn't force feed him.
Yeah, it makes sense. The math doesn't add up for DeAndre Hopkins. But I still think he could be a buy low.
He could be a 2014 version of what he is. He could be what he was in 2014, though.
I think he's a borderline number 1.
Okay, so rest of season, you're still taking him over a Michael Crabtree? Or
Yes.
What about Marvin Jones? Marvin Jones or DeAndre Hopkins?
I think that's a very good. That's right in the range. I'd probably still take Hopkins, but that's right in the range.
Yep.
Atlanta 48 and Carolina 33. I don't think you can have any confidence starting Cameron Artis Payne going forward until, especially since they have Tampa Bay this week going forward until Jonathan Stewart gets back. Any major takeaways from this game? Maybe Falcons running backs.
The bottom I think has fallen out for Tevin Coleman. I think the last 2 weeks, really, he scored the 3 touchdowns on Monday night, and that kind of inflated it. But the yards are way down lately. Basically, the last 3 weeks, the yards are way down. I just don't know if this team runs the ball well enough to sustain 2 fantasy-relevant running backs. I'm not 100% sure I view Devontae Freeman as a number 1. I think last week was the opportunity to sell high on those 2.
Well, certainly with Coleman. I think Freeman, the fact that he scored a touchdown, the fact that Coleman's run the ball so poorly, I don't know. You think he's a sell high? I mean, I feel like you can feel pretty comfortable starting Freeman.
Yeah, I think you can feel pretty comfortable starting him, but I don't think he's... If somebody views him as a number 1 running back, I think I'd be okay selling high on him.
Oakland 28, Baltimore 27. Great game, fun finish. Steve Smith or Mike Wallace rest of season?
Smith.
Smith is 56% owned. I think he's a hot waiver wire pickup this week, guys.
Yep, for sure.
2 straight games with 11 targets and more than 80 receiving yards, and he's back. He's a freak, man.
He's getting a ton of targets this season. I think he had 8 in the first week, too.
How droppable is Dennis Pitta, 85% owned?
100.
100%, or he should be 100% owned?
100%.
What do you mean?
He only got 5 targets.
Well, he had 8 last week, and you were like, I'll take a tight end who gets 8. So can't give up on him.
I will. I will. 20 targets over 2 games sounds a lot better than 25 over 3.
So is he 100% droppable, or should it be 100% owned? I don't know what you mean.
I'm saying he's 100% droppable.
He's in the, I think he's in the Zach Miller range.
He's in the Kobe Fleener range.
He's like a matchups guy. He's a matchups guy.
He's going to average 35 yards per game, and when he scores a touchdown and you start him that week, you'll feel fine.
Pitta, I'd rather have Miller than Pitta or Fleener right for this week.
I'd still rather have Fleener. I think there's more upside, but I don't feel good about starting any of them.
Washington 31, Cleveland 20. Is Matt Jones a fantasy stalwart, or should we sell high on him at Baltimore, Philadelphia, at Detroit, at Cincinnati, and then a bye coming up?
Sell high quickly.
Yeah?
Yes.
I feel better about him. I was very worried about him losing his job. I don't think that's going to happen.
Rest of season, Matt Jones or Isaiah Crowell?
Crowell.
Matt Jones or Theo Riddick, PPR?
Matt Joe, PPR.
Jones.
Probably still Jones.
I understand the thought of selling high, but it's tough to find a running back who's going to get...
There's like 5 good running backs in the NFL.
I know. Denver 27, Tampa Bay 7. Boy, Dirk Cutter not happy with Jameis Winston, but I'm still feeling like he's going to have a strong finish. At Carolina next week, that's not bad, this upcoming week. Then a bye. At San Francisco, Oakland, Atlanta, Chicago, all at home. At Kansas City.
I feel good about him all the way through at least Kansas City.
Yeah, at Kansas City will be bad because he's going on the road.
He throws a lot of interceptions.
Yes. Seattle at home is going
to
be bad.
That's like 8 weeks from now, so we don't have to worry too much about that.
At San Francisco could be bad.
Maybe.
He's a matchup-dependent streaming quarterback. That's it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know Bowman's more of their run, more of their run defense, but I just think their defense might be awful now. It will be.
Yep.
But that is a cross-country trip. That's never easy. Mike Evans, touchdown in the first 3 games. This is a brutal matchup for him. I really don't think there's any automatic other than Antonio Brown and maybe Julio Jones, who we're going to see that, right, against Denver next week.
Next week.
I don't know that there's more than 2 or 3 automatic starts against Denver at wide receiver. They're so good. They've done T.Y. Hilton, A.J. Green, and Mike Evans the last 3 weeks. They've 7 fantasy points or less, I think, for all 3 of them. Cameron Brate, 25% only at 8 targets. Cameron Brate or Dennis Pitta?
Who do they play this week?
Brate has Carolina.
Okay.
Pitta, damn you. Pitta has, who do they have? Oh, I have it up right. Can you just tell me who they have? I don't know.
I don't either.
Washington.
Mm.
Yeah, I'd probably go Brate this week.
Okay, great.
I'd probably go Pitta.
Make America great again.
I want to read some emails. So, Rams Cardinals. Anything we haven't said about this game?
You know who's going to be a hot waiver wire pickup is Brian Quick.
Should he be?
No.
New Orleans 35, San Diego 34. Are you worried about Melvin Gordon and his less than 2 yards per carry over the last 2 weeks, or right around 2?
He's not that good.
I don't want to say anything about Melvin Gordon because I'm trying desperately to trade him.
I will take him. Trade him to me. Sterling Shepard for Melvin Gordon. You laughed in my face.
Yeah, because it's a horrible... It's
Michael Crabtree.
Shepard.
I'll give you Michael Crabtree for Melvin Gordon.
No.
Then
no.
What are you talking about? What am Melvin I supposed Gordon, to give you for Melvin Gordon if you
Melvin
want to trade
Gordon's
him?
Melvin Gordon's still a number one running back.
Exactly.
But he's putting up numbers like a top 5 running back.
We've had him ranked in the top 5 each of the last 2 weeks, and he's met those expectations.
Everyone's saying... Oh, Melvin Gordon just looks different, and he's now averaging fewer yards per carry than he was last
season. All right, but the first 2 weeks, 4.1 and 4.3 yards per carry at Kansas City and against it. That's fine. I'll take 4.
If that's your best, if that's the best you do.
No, but what we're saying is through 2 weeks, he did look like a different running back, and his numbers were better.
Don't think he looked that different. He had games with 4.3 yards per carry last season. He's the same guy in a better situation.
I'm not saying his stats look different. I'm saying he looked better. He looked yesterday very indecisive.
I don't agree. I think it's confirmation bias. We said he looked better because the numbers and the results were better. I don't think he actually looked like a different player. And the last 2 games.
You think he's looked the same every game that he's played?
I think he's looked like the same guy from last year.
He had 2 very good games earlier in the year. He scored touchdowns.
He had games where he didn't look atrocious last year too.
Okay, I think I'm ignoring Dontrell Inman. He's actually had a lot of work and a lot of snaps every game. But this was the
I don't
first.
Think you should.
He is Norum? He's leading them in snaps. He's leading them in pass routes run so far. For what that's worth.
Yeah.
Why is it weird? They've got a bunch of crappy wide receivers.
No, what's weird is that he's gotten that many snaps and that many routes, and this was the first game that he actually got targets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't, like,
they don't have a number
frustrating.
One.
Hey, what are your thoughts on Jamal Charles after the bye? I think the fact that Spencer Ware has fumbled three times is good for Jamal Charles owners.
Yes. I would be making some buy low offers on him now, because the Charles owner now has a bye week to deal with, didn't get to see him very much, has question marks over how much he'll play after the bye. Try to go get him. The only benefit to yesterday was that it maybe kept some people from starting Spencer Ware.
So let's do some emails real quick, guys. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. Ryan in Oakland, should I use the number one waiver wire priority to pick up Eifert, or should I hold on to it and roll with Eric Ebron?
I think Eifert will be better than Ebron, but I don't think it'll be such a huge difference that I want to waste the number one waiver wire priority on it.
If I knew for sure that Eifert was coming back this week, I might do that.
This
I mean, even
Cody.
If he does come back, it'll probably be limited.
This is from Cody. Approve the move. Should I drop Rashad Jennings for Wendell Smallwood?
I don't approve it.
Nah.
I'm not all in on this Smallwood just going to take over thing.
No, not either.
I mean, Ryan Matthews still exists.
Yeah, if Ryan Matthews is healthy, that's always a big if.
Yeah. Jeff in Boston. Dear Negan, Rick, and Daryl.
It's Negan.
Negan, who's that?
The Walking Dead.
Okay. I have Matt Ryan and Russell Wilson. Should I trade Ryan and sell high to get a wide receiver?
Yeah.
If you can get a mid-range number two, yes. I would not trade Ryan for a number three.
If you could get Brandon Cooks for him, yeah.
Oh, deal. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Matt from a town in the Midwest, grade the trade. Dear Eddie, Ryan, Amon, and Dorsey, those are the last four Packers 1,000-yard rushers.
Oh.
Two quarterback league, half-point PPR. I give Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, and he also has Andy Dalton and Romo, by the way. So he gives either Rodgers or Brady. He gets Mike Evans.
I'd give Brady.
Love it either way, but yeah, I would rather give up Brady.
Last one, this is from Blake from a city in Texas. Let's go with Topeka, Kansas for Dave. Hi, Jeff, Brad, Vinny, and Ryan. Those feel like Jets quarterbacks to me.
Yeah,
I was going to say like the cast of Entourage.
let's see.
Yeah, they are. Fitzpatrick, Testaverde. Yeah.
I didn't have Hostetler. It was Jeff Hostetler. Who's Jeff? Jeff, they have. Vinny Testaverde. I have no idea. I have no idea. I'm probably wrong about this. I'm 1-3. Should I trade Julio Jones and or Jamal Charles right now or stick it? This is a tough question. Would you, if you're 1-3 and you have Julio Jones, would you try to trade him or would you stick it out with him?
I think if you're 1-3, you're probably trying to trade Charles because yes, you should, because you're going to lose this week with Julio and Charles, your two best players.
Who the hell are Jeff, Brad, Vinny, and Ryan? I feel like we should know this.
Like, I feel like it should be Jeff, George, Brad Johnson, Vinny Testaverde, and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
But what would that be?
Yeah.
It's some kind of, I don't know.
I bet they all threw six interceptions.
Did Jeff Blake play for the Jets?
It's some kind of video game website, I think.
Nope. We're sticking with Jeff George.
Jeff Blake did play for the Jets. 1992 and 1993. Now who do we need? We need Brad
Smith.
Who?
Brad Smith. He didn't even play quarterback.
Brad Smith. These were Jets quarterbacks. Good for us. That's it for the show. I'm Adam Azer for Heath Cummings and Chris Towers. This has been your Jets Quarterback Edition. We're back tomorrow with the Waiver Wire. See you later.
Bye.